-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
Good afternoon. In a little better mood today, man. Anybody got any contract questions?
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Yes, hi and hello and welcome to a brand new episode of -3 presented as ever by Omaha, just in time for the divisional round playoffs. Yeah, we got to look back a little bit at the wild card round. 75% of pro football teams are now on the outside, so they're trying to make amends for what went wrong in 2023 to get right in time for autumn of 2024. The Cowboys, as far as that goes, have decided to retain Mike McCarthy in an effort to, I guess, win 12 games again next season. And we'll see how it goes in the postseason. The Pittsburgh Steelers are keeping Mike Tomlin, and now he's game to talk about contracts. I'm surprised that was such a wild kerfuffle. Of course, he's not going to answer what his future is going to be 3 minutes after the 2023 season ends in heartbreaking defeat. I considered it heartbreaking as a Steelers fan. I think everybody else kind of looked at it as, yeah, what did you think was going to happen there? I do think the Steelers had a shot in that one. Anyway, let's say hello to our guys here. Actually, before we say hello to them, let me tell you where you can find them on Friday on the 15-minute NFL pregame show. We're giving you all four of the divisional round winners. We're spoiling them for you. Kevin Hench and I, Eddie Spaghetti's giving you the best player props there. And you know what? I'm a man of the people. You've demanded a fruit of the year, a Shecky award be given out. We're going to include that as well in the 15-minute show. Go back in the meantime and listen to the -3 from the start of the week. Actually, it came out on Tuesday with one Daniel Jeremiah. Some really great stuff on the QBs in the pipeline that'll be drafted, the options in free agency, and whether or not Kenny Pickett might be fixable from the Steelers side. A lot of great stuff there. We also did some NF Ellen Dynamite stuff. You can find that on YouTube on the Extra Points page, or -3 pod on social media. All right. With that being said, now we can say hello to them. I see Eddie Spaghetti in his usual seat there behind the glass and high atop Hollywood. It's Kevin Hench. What's the poop, fella?
Oh man. The poop is literally poop. I'm doing the master cleanse. I'm on day two.
Why? Come on.
I'll tell you why. Because I've been feeling like soft, like I just feel like pampered, and I'm like, I got to do something difficult, you know, like as difficult as the Eagles tackling a ball carrier, something nigh impossible. So I'm on day two. I've done this, I think, three times, but not for a while. And I was never suffering like this on day two. Like I was right that I am soft. Oh my God.
What is the gain in doing this, though? What does this do? Is this just a matter of proving
why did we go to the moon?
Right. Okay,
why did we go to the moon? Why do we go to the moon? I don't know. Okay. It's just like I feel like undisciplined, lazy, fat, gross, you know, American. And I want to, I mean, I'll never get back to where I was just because of my age, but like, I can lose some weight, you know, and it does. It's not for weight loss necessarily, but you do lose.
Okay. So Hench is a weirdo, and that's fine.
Is that news?
No, and I am no one to attack you for the weird stuff you do. By the way, you know, lazy and soft and everything else, this coming from the man who spends roughly 21 and a half hours each day making pages for your entertainment, but he's gone soft. If Hench is soft, boy, the rest of society is in real trouble.
Most, I know it's basically rigorous job.
I get it. Well, that's what I always say too. We talk into microphones about football and fruit. It ain't exactly a heavy lift for us, but still, your efforts are appreciated there.
A new age sorceress who's, you know, always bringing new ideas to me. So. And I don't argue. I just, you know, okay, we'll drink raw milk. Fine. I don't care.
All right. We'll get to our goat and goats of the week, examining the full range of greatness and pitifulness in the world of sports this past week in just a second here. As we jump in, and by the way, one of those will be Dave Dameshek. I can't attack Kevin Hench for being a weirdo when I did what I did last weekend with my pals from Indiana University. I'll tell you about that in a second. But quickly, Hench, the headline, I know Josh Allen and Mahomes and the great story happening up in Detroit and the stunner that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we've kind of forgotten about Brock Purdy and the Niners a little bit. I feel like all that stuff is great, but it does feel like most of the conversation is about the have-nots, the teams that most recently lost, the wild card losers. What do you think? I don't know what to say. I texted you this last night, and I repeat it now. I feel like the Cowboys keeping Mike McCarthy is a worse move than the Steelers keeping Mike Tomlin. And I have my thoughts on why that's true. But does that sound right to your objective ear?
Yeah, I mean, it's wild that Jerry Jones is like the most patient employer in America. Like, it's weird, right? Like, you hear him and you're like, oh, don't cross this guy. You know, the head coach could fart in an elevator in the first year of his contract and get fired. Like, you feel like he seems like the kind of guy who would just be like, I don't like that guy's loafers. He's gone. But as we learned with Jason Garrett, like, he refuses to be paying two coaches at the same time. So he's bringing McCarthy back. You know, by the way, is everyone's like, for the fifth and final year, it's like, well, obviously if he wins a Super Bowl, he'll be in a good negotiating position. Now, I don't think anybody thinks he's going to win a Super Bowl because this felt like their best shot. But yeah, I don't know. Like,
is it that is the cynical answer? I mean, obviously, I guess you just said it. So that's what you believe is. So you just think this is about Jerry's wallet and what's best for the wallet. Not in fact, because all you ever hear about is, and I kind of push back at that and have for 20 years now, that in the 21st century, the idea, even as much as it's perpetuated, like, oh, no tougher position than being the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback. Now, I imagine there's a different level of heat between being the Cowboys versus the Carolina Panthers starting quarterback. But for the most part, I think you're under a fair amount of pressure if you're the number one QB on any NFL team, right? I think that's overstated and the like, pressure on you. I think it's Jerry Jones that there's this vibe of like, oh man, he's a tough guy. He'll can you in a second for anything. But the last 20 years disproved that over and over. By the way, even his drafting, and I know he's not solely drafting, but this kind of like reach for it. It's more about entertainment than it is about X's and O's with Jerry. Yeah, he did want to take Johnny Manziel and had to be talked out of that. But for the most part, under his watch, they draft linemen and linemen and linemen. It's not like they're always out there chasing splash. So I think we have collectively attached this narrative about who Jerry Jones is. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is just like, What am I crazy? We've won 12 games 3 years in a row. I'm not a kook. Of course, we're going to stick with this.
It is. It's like shockingly sober. Like, it's like a very measured approach to running a business, you know? And it's like, you know, for us, it's less fun because you're like, how long is Jason Garrett going to be failing, you know, coming up short? And it's like, I don't know. We go to the playoffs, whatever. Mike McCarthy, we go to the playoffs. Now, the fact that the Packers have won more playoff games in AT&T than the Cowboys, that of all the stats that came out, that one really blew my mind. Like,
who is winning these Super Bowls on the NFC side? Because it does seem like the Packers always beat the Cowboys and the Niners always beat the Cowboys. And then the Packers never get to a Super Bowl when Aaron Rodgers is there for 13 years and the Niners ain't winning these Super Bowls. So who is claiming these titles? It's weird. I can't remember anything that's happened this century. I'm locked in though on the last century. So Spaghetti, fill in these blanks for me.
But Nick Foles, baby, Nick Foles.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, it's weird to me with McCarthy because you use a good adjective there. It does feel very sober, and all the smarties are out there, and Greg Olson's, you know, as good as it gets as an analyst, and you know, he's pushing this. Obviously, you can't fire him. You're crazy if you fire a guy. And people who have been defenders of Mike Tomlin say the same thing. Like, what are we talking about here? Double-digit wins every year, never a losing season. And it's not been 4 years that this has happened and not 3 years of 12 wins, but never a losing season. So you're not going to fire him. I also get the other side of the coin, though, because the sober thing is to look at, the larger sample size, which is regular season after regular season, and say, well, you can't argue with the consistent positive results. But on the other hand, what we're watching here is not like, it's not the stock market where you just want to come out in the black at the end of the day. Like you, this is all fantasy, right? This is a heightened sense of reality where you need a hero at the end of it. They play every season for a trophy. And they don't say like next year, like we'll settle the hash of who the best is every 5 years. No, no, it's every year they award that trophy. So that skews things. And to the fans, to the teams, to the players, we get it. Yes, it is the sober thing to be like, what are you going to fire a coach who just always wins? If he doesn't win in the playoffs, this is a movie we're watching. This is entertainment we're watching. And act threes in most movies end with the hero winning. And so when you don't win, it's unsatisfying. It's very hard to make sense of, but all the analytics people will tell you this is the right thing to do. But is it the right thing to do when it always ends with the others, with the bad guys winning, right?
I would say even if your sole criteria, which it should be, this is why Julian Edelman belongs in the Hall of Fame, right, is winning championships. That should expect you're a billionaire. You won all the other competitions. Now just win championships. So then the analysis has to be, does Mike Vrabel give me a better chance of winning a Super Bowl next year with Dak Prescott? You know, and you know, to the Tomlin of it all, it's like, well, you're going to be in the playoffs, so that gives you a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than not being in the playoffs. Like, it's just math. And do you really think, like, if we bring in Jim Harbaugh, we're going to have a 10% better chance of winning the Super Bowl? Like, I mean, the odd thing about both those scenarios, right? So McCarthy, yes, you know, Dak throws the two horrible picks. Obviously, he didn't send in the throw the ball to the other team play. You know, I mean, McCarthy did an outstanding job of saying, I'm going to be responsible for the play calling and then scoring a ton of points all year. So then picked a bad day to have a bad day. But it was the defense, if you're watching that game, where you're like, okay, yes, Dak had the two terrible throws. But on defense, have you ever seen guys running that wide open? Like, are these blown coverages? Do half the guys think they're playing man and half the guys think they're playing zone? Like, play after play after play. First of all, like, the defensive line is standing up and talking to each other at the snap of the ball. It looked like the first day of OTAs. Like, that, you know, so I haven't heard a lot of like, is Dan Quinn going to get fired? Like, the team that was not prepared to play, the side of the ball that was not prepared to play, was the defense. And the way these teams work, it's like Mike McCarthy doesn't have anything to do with that. Like, that's not like, yes, he's responsible for everything, but you know, he's watching as shocked as we are over in Pittsburgh. You know, when you were getting down on Tomlin, which is rare for you, but you were like, how could this guy be watching Pickett, Trubisky, and Rudolph?
I think that's a damning piece of evidence against Coach
and then,
G.
And then when Rudolph threw that ball to Elam in the end zone, from the two, you throw a pick to the pylon with an underthrown, it was almost like a Hail Mary from the 2 yard line. It was like, what did you see? Where was this ball supposed to be? And I was like, oh, all Tomlin would have to do is see two of these in practice and go, yeah, that guy can't see the field. So in a weird way, it was vindicating that throw. And I agree, that game was there to be had. That game was there. That throw obviously killed them. You know, you're at the 2 yard line when they went no huddle. And again, Tomlin escapes all responsibility by being in charge of nothing. Like, he didn't call that play. He, you know, you're at the 2 yard line with that running game and you go empty backfield, spread wide. I knew something terrible was about to happen and it did. But I just think, I mean, I guess, you know, it's more fun to text your buddies when guys are getting fired. But I think both the Steelers and Cowboys are doing the sober grown-up thing and going with a sticking with a guy who just made the playoffs.
I guess, but maybe I'm vibing to the profile, the perceived profile of America's team and all of that. To answer your question, yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh would give them a better chance of winning the Super Bowl next year. The results are in. I mean, like, the consistency of that is what kind of damns them in a way. I mean, every year, 12 wins, and then this no-show in the playoffs consistently. I mean, like, gross looking ball in the playoffs for a team that's supposed to be a contender. And of course, the big difference between the Dallas Cowboys and the Steelers and the Titans with Mike Vrabel and the other guys who you might consider is that Dak is presented as the man. He is the franchise, and they're still not winning with them. I don't think you would say the same thing is true about Vrabel's Titans and Tomlin Steelers having identified the correct guy to be the QB, which is in the AFC at least the only way to skin the cat right now. The evidence is in. The NFC is a little looser. Then that's more about the OCs. But I do think, I know I'm a broken record about it, but it is the sort of old guard DCs, and I'm going to put Dan Quinn into that group, is like, hey, we're not disguising anything. We're showing you who you are, and come on out here and beat us. And that group of coaches from that Washington staff in 2011 or 2012, and you see the picture keep going around over and over of LaFleur and Shanahan and Slowick and Johns. Who else was on that staff? Eddie Spaghetti. Whoever. If you have one of those guys, they're like, I don't have to abide by your football laws. I'm just gonna cook something up and scheme something you've never seen before and shame you in the playoffs here. And that's exactly what the Texans did to the mighty Browns defense down in Houston. And before it felt like Dak had barely touched the ball before the Cowboys, to your point, were down a couple of touchdowns. So it does seem like, as unsatisfying as it is to me, it's like the cheat code is to have one of those coaches. It's to have LaFleur, Slowick on Dak. You know, these guys seem to have figured something out, much like Belichick did 15, 20 years ago. About, like, here's the way to game the game a little bit. And there's no response from the old guard guys. They're like, well, I don't know what's happening. And now they present as like this nice warm blanket. Like, at least you know we're going to be halfway decent next year, right? Cowboys and Steelers fans. But it feels vaguely unsatisfying to me. Tomlin, at the time of this recording, just had his season-ending press conference. He says that Pickett is the number one, but they want Mason Rudolph back for a competition, and people are reacting to that. My reaction to that reaction is, what do you think Tomlin's going to say? Well, he's going to go up there and announce what the plan is for September of 2024. He doesn't know what it is. And by the way, if he did know what it was, he still wouldn't tell any of you. This aggrieved media reaction to what these coaches say at the post, they're not going to tell you the truth. Get comfortable with that fact. Bill Belichick has stood up there for 20 years and not said anything. What about Belichick, though? Is it, as we launch into the GOAT and GOAT this week, is the NFL collectively, the available coaching spots there, is the NFL the bad GOAT for not pouncing on Bill Belichick 2 seconds after he became available?
Well, this is interesting because this gets back to the Jera and McCarthy thing. Does Jerry Jones require a non-alpha to coach that team? Meaning it's Jerry's team.
And I'm
going to do a presser after the game. Like, I'm going to stand and answer questions. Why are you talking? You know, it's like, get lost. And so Jerry constantly,
we need that from Mark Davis after every Raiders game. I'm calling for it now. That'd be great.
Bob Kraft talking about
Jimmy Haslam, get on the mic.
So I think, like, you know, and I mean, you go back to Jimmy Johnson and, you know, obviously an alpha, the last alpha to coach the Cowboys, right? Jimmy Johnson, like,
well, Bill Parcells, but you're largely right. Dave Campo was a milk toast as much as there's ever been one. It remains crazy that the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys was Dave Campo in his perm, and Jason Garrett was no type A sort himself, and Mike McCarthy probably isn't either.
So then you go, okay, we already had Belichick taking the Charger job because of the attractiveness of it, but now Spaghetti tells me a second interview in Atlanta, which would just be bizarre.
Yep.
But as you point out, Sheck, isn't bizarre that weirdo's MO.
Right. I mean, he drafted Cole Strange. So of course he's going to make a strange move here. Not the obvious one. Yeah, I don't know what appeals to him exactly about Atlanta. I do think he's one of those guys, much like Tom Brady went to the NFC. He didn't want that extra layer of like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play the Patriots in the playoffs thing, I think was part of his calculation, Brady's. And I bet you Belichick doesn't want to go head to head, or maybe he's got, I think Falcons or Dallas or Philly or Washington, all of those make some sense. It is weird, though, when you see Bill Belichick has to have a second interview. Is he interviewing them about whether or not he wants the gig, or is it actually Arthur Blank looking across from him like, tell me about what you're going to do? Like, well, I'm Bill Belichick. I'm not telling you anything.
I think one meeting was with Arthur Blank only, and I think the other meeting is with the rest of the group.
And everybody.
And then Atlanta, yeah. And then also the reason why Atlanta is appealing, per the report, I believe it was Josina Anderson wrote a tweet recently about it, like an hour ago, that he basically would, it's like he wants the GM control. And they would kind of relinquish that power to him. Whereas some other teams like Philadelphia, for example, when you have Howie Roseman there, you're not going to be able to get that. So that was the example they used. So it seems like Belichick would have his same New England powers just down in Atlanta.
So then you'd have to have the conversation after he leaves the room. Like, okay, is our roster good enough to win now? Because that guy's not going to add anything to it on draft day. He's just going to whiff.
Right. It's such a weird thing. And I know, I guess coaches, the majority of NFL teams don't keep a coach more than 3 or 4 years, but it just strikes me of what a short-term weird move it would be and what you perceive your franchise to be, that you get so desperate that you would bring in a 72-year-old man who, by the way, clearly the game, I don't know if it's passed him by, but his approach is outmoded, but also I also can give him the leeway, and it's sort of why I think the Steelers bringing back Tomlin makes more sense than the Cowboys bringing back Dak, is the recurring point about the delusion that we put ourselves through in at any NFL team is forced to put the locker room through and the fan base through and everybody. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, you really are going to have a hard time winning the Super Bowl. I mean, it's that simple. Like, we attempt to talk our way around all that. Dak is at least supposed to be that guy. We kind of buy him. He's paid that way. So we at least we allow ourselves to think maybe that's right. And Jalen Hurts a year ago felt like, well, he's the answer there in Philadelphia. But man, it is a very short list. And as Daniel Jeremiah said, and, you know, I've said ad nauseum, you know, there is evidence this millennium that you can win the Super Bowl without one of those guys, but you got to get an inside flush. I mean, inside straight to do it. You know, you got like you're everything. The stars must align versus if you have Aaron Rodgers in his prime or any number of the quarterbacks and you know who they are. If you have one of those guys, at worst, you're going to be in the playoffs. You're at worst in week 18, you're going to be like, we should get into the playoffs, or you're already safely in there and looking ahead to the thing. And like the rest of it is just noise. We're just talking around it, right? That's the unsatisfying answer to 80% of NFL teams. You don't have the QB. Good luck. Maybe you'll have a magic year, but short of that, you ain't winning it.
No, that's what was so wild about Stefanski getting rid of his OC. I mean, I know Van Pelt didn't call the plays, but you know, by the time Driscoll started week 18, that was their fifth quarterback, none of whom are any good, by the way. You know, when Flacco finally turned into a pumpkin, it had been 5 years since he was good. I know he had an amazing stretch run, but like that was more the Joe Flacco that we'd seen the last 5 years when he got under center. So, sure. You know, that's an OC that should be getting promoted, not let go, because he doesn't have one of the guys and he won 11 games.
Very true. But as I repeatedly said, that team ain't going to the Super Bowl. Everybody stop getting swept up in this thing that it's a great Joe Flacco and all, like, it is a good story. They're not winning the Super Bowl. They're not going to run the table here. They're not going to win 3 road games and go all the way. I mean, the Jags almost did, but it's such a fluke when it happens. It's so rando.
But you could see Brock Purdy running off that field going to Disney World.
Well, because the other side of that coin is, as I said 10 minutes ago, they have Kyle Shanahan, who built that magic staff that apparently has all the answers that can solve any NFL defense. And that gives you, you could plug anybody in there. Sam Darnold, I suspect, would probably have the 49ers in a very similar spot to where Brock Purdy has them. I know that diminishes Brock Purdy a little bit, but okay. Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
Let me ask you a question, Eddie Spaghetti. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? But before you answer, two words, Caesars Rewards. Those are the two words. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. I'm talking about hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, even more than just that. It's not only an app, it's an empire. 21 plus must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm going to talk about this quarterback as a GOAT, and I'll start it off with Dave Damashek first. I said I'd be in here. Dumb Dave had another great chapter last weekend. I realized on Friday, because I was a week out from going to Vegas for the divisional round to meet my IU pals out there, Chicago and IU guys are all out there. But then I realized on Friday at about 2 p.m. when their text chains were saying, like, where are we meeting right now? Are we going to meet in the bar? Are we going to meet at the table? And I realized, oh, I don't even know what weekend I'm supposed to be in Las Vegas, because apparently I should be there right now. And Dumb Dave was berated by his friends, but they still accepted him with open arms. When I jumped on a flight at 5 p.m. Friday and flew back the next day, at least I got to catch up with everybody. What a fool I am. So who am I to talk about foolish behavior? But I will say this. I'm not pleased with the behavior of one Kenneth Pickett. I've supported him. You know, I spiritually will support that forever. If he just flops out and never plays another game, it was still right for the Pittsburgh Steelers to take the Pitt QB when he was there at that spot in the draft. It's not the end of the world if it's a bust. A lot of teams blow it with their first round pick. Of course, the trick is don't screw up all your picks every year and you can survive it. But I don't get this thing of like Kenny Pickett, first of all, zero in a world in which they cut away to Eminem 37 times in the Lions game and they cut away 37 times to Taylor Swift at the Chiefs game. Zero cutaways to the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kenny Pickett, during that Bills game. I thought that was very weird, but sort of goes along with him no showing in the locker room the day after the season ends and the reported complaining about where Tomlin wanted to use him before the Seattle game and all of that. I understand the raw feelings. You didn't lose the job, Kenneth. You didn't. You got hurt, and Mason Rudolph won the job. There was no choice for Mike Tomlin and everybody else that Mason Rudolph would be the guy, given the way he was playing. There is no mystery about all that, but the complaining is just not useful stuff. And now it's coming home to roost. Did you see Deontay Johnson's comments? This is also not helpful. Deontay Johnson say, I hope Mason Rudolph is our number one next year. He's deserved it. Like, there's a chance, Deontay, that Kenny Pickett will do it. And that might damage the relationship, I think. All of it amounts to another very quiet offseason in Pittsburgh with zero belly aching. I don't think it's a great look for the franchise QB, the guy who is supposed to be the franchise QB, belly aching and being petulant and all that. Bad look. What will be a good look is if the Steelers retain Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. And by definition, they are going to kick Trubisky to the curb, save themselves $7 million and bring in a third. They'll have a competition and that'll be that. I don't understand the hand wring. What are they going to do? That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to keep Rudolph. They're going to have Kenny Pickett still on his rookie deal. They'll bring in somebody else. End of story. We don't need to belabor it for the next 5 months, or at least until free agency starts. Those are my my bad goats. Hench, how say you?
Well, just to that, it's like the coach's job is to give his team the best chance to win. And it's like, you're not owed something. I mean, obviously, having lived through the glorious Bledsoe-Brady decision, it's like, you know, it's Tomlin's job to make that call once Pickett's healthy but he thinks Rudolph gives you a better chance to win. And then it's Pickett's job to the playbook on how to handle that has been written. And it's like, everybody knows you don't want to get benched. You don't have to articulate that. You don't have to articulate that. Everybody knows, but this is your chance to look like a good teammate. And a leader that guys might want to play for next year. Like, so it's bad on Pickett, in terms of his actual value as the leader of a franchise. It suggests that he's not, and Deontay Johnson, I guess, has picked up on that. My bad goats, there's so many. The crazy weekend of horrible goats. But I'll put the Cowboys and Eagles defenses together, because I think as fans, we like to think like the refs are, it's fixed, or, you know, the refs don't care. They're just bad at their jobs.
That's all.
The other thing we do a lot of is like, this team quit, or they quit on their coach, or there was no effort. And it's like, guys are trying their hardest. They're running as fast as they can. But literally those two Eagles Cowboys performances was like, okay, I genuinely believe everyone's trying their hardest, but it doesn't look like you're trying your hardest. It doesn't look like you're trying at all. Like, I don't even, I mean, the Bradbury, like, I mean, it looked, Bradbury was tackling in that game like it was a Make-A-Wish Foundation, let the kid score. Like, do you want to tackle this guy? Do you want to be involved in contact? Like, it was so, the Eagles, I mean, you just didn't think you would see anything worse than that Cowboys defense. And then the Eagles matched them whiff for whiff. It was just terrible. And so those two defenses are my bad goats as I rip up.
I thought the Eagles were much worse, and you could see that from a mile away. They told you a month ago that they ain't trying, and they didn't try for 1 minute in any game down the stretch.
I don't know. When Jordan Love underthrew Luke Musgrove by 25 yards and it made no difference, because there was nobody in the hemisphere. Like, what? He had to stop and field it like a punt, and they still couldn't keep him out of the end zone. Like, that ball, you know, he would have wanted that ball at the 8, and he caught it at like the 27.
We've talked about everybody is predisposed these days to say something nasty. People want to negatively impact you. And by the way, back to the Kenny Pickett of it, like, the cool you want is sort of the Don Draper in the elevator, the other guy, like, oh, are you upset about Mason Rudolph? Like, I don't think about him at all. I mean, when I'm healthy and, you know, have the offseason, I'll reclaim my spot. No trouble. That's the vibe you want to give off to your teammates and to the world at large.
You
also, if you're the guy to the Don Draper of it all, if you were the guy and there was such a massive gap between you and Mason Rudolph, Mike Tomlin would know that. We'd all know that. That would have been established in the many, many games you've started in the NFL. What your performance heretofore suggests that it's pretty close. It's pretty close between you and Mason Rudolph. That's not a great look for you, Kenny Pickett, to not understand that it's on you that this is close.
What he is doing is what you see so many people do in social media and beyond. People who are, as a for instance, upset about seeing Taylor Swift during football games. They are pounding the table. I don't want to see that. But they're still going to cut away to her because she's the most famous person on the planet. And so her public whereabouts will always be news no matter where she is. But people are demanding you stop showing her. Why are you not listening to me? Because you can't control the universe from behind your laptop, no matter how hard you try. But this cynical thing is funny to me because we have identified a few caveats. During the NFL draft, every guy from every analyst on the draft, they can't see any flaws. Oh, that young man just went to the best available spot that he could have gone to. That's the perfect team for him to go to. Oh, he's destined for the stars. No one has any ability to say anything critical in that moment. And I think we've reached a weird place, too, specific with QBs. Nobody likes to say it, but maybe the reality is Dak's a choker in big spots. Dak doesn't like the pressure. Everybody doesn't. We talk about it all the time. Tom Brady's gift, along with the football sense, line of scrimmage, pre-snap, all that, is that for whatever reason, he just never seemed to get tight. It's plain that Dak Prescott gets tight. When he is up against it, he starts jamming throws in there. He sees the end of the line for the season and, you know, he makes bad decisions. Aaron Rodgers did that many, many times. For some reason, we try to talk our way around that reality. It's like, that's a problem. If he's the man, it's one thing if it's like Mason Rudolph threw a terrible interception in the end zone. He shouldn't have thrown that ball, but he's Mason Rudolph. It's a different thing altogether when your whole team is built around that guy as being the man and he flops in that spot. I can get taking the defense to task and other positions and coaches and everything else, but it's all built around that guy saving the day, and Dak didn't save the day. He, in fact, added to the fire that was ongoing in Dallas Stadium, and he was behind the eight ball, but he didn't help thing when he threw that pick six early in the game. That ended it.
I'll throw another name at you, Dan Marino. I believe threw more picks in the postseason than TDs.
Oh, is that true?
It's true that I was talking to my daughter about the behavioral psychology of pressure and how, because she's learning to drive, she's going to take her test, and how when she feels pressure behind the wheel, she makes mistakes, you know, and it's like that's pretty much all of us, except the occasional freak like Joe Montana or Tom Brady, who calms down and goes, "Hey, there's John Candy.
Right.
Look over there, there's John Candy." Like, what is going on? It's Matthew McConaughey in True Detective. Your heart rate goes down when you're about to get killed. Like, what? I don't understand this. And so, yes, the ability, the grace under pressure, because pressure doesn't affect you. That's the secret sauce. Like, where's that on the Wonderlic?
I think there's something too that the media is now way more populated by ex-players than it was 10 years ago and 20 years ago. That, and you know, it comes off as cruel and mean-spirited and you know, taking a shot from you know, 3 miles away or whatever to impugn a big time QB from safely behind the TV set. But that's an imperfect way to critique football too, but also these guys that are pals with these guys make it so that it's unpleasant and ugly to say that, like, hey, got to put this on Dak. What the hell is you going to say? This is Dak has to be the hero. Oh, they're down 14 at home. Hey, Dak, save the day. Don't throw a pick six, man. That's the last thing we need you to do. Right?
Well, Dak put it on Dak. Dak didn't blame anybody else. He stood
good for him.
Yeah, he ate it. All right, Mike, you mentioned her, is Taylor Swift. I don't, first of all, she's incredible. Like, what's the criticism? Like, she's self-made billionaire. You're now moving into her second generation of fans. And these guys, Dungy and Favre, like, I mean, obviously, if she said she loved Donald Trump, they would love the cutaways to Taylor Swift. But this thing that it's bad for business, do they not know how? I mean, Favre probably doesn't know how business works. He just thinks you're allowed to take taxpayers' money and build volleyball stadiums. Nobody is going to stop watching football because they cut away to Taylor Swift after her boyfriend's team scores a touchdown. Lots of people are going to watch football because Taylor Swift said it's cool to watch football. So how is this bad for business? Zero people. Name one person who's like, I'm not watching the Bills Chiefs game because they're going to cut away to Taylor Swift. That's zero. And then,
right.
And then, I mean, they've already measured it actually demographically, like a huge spike in the Taylor Swift. Like, so yes, obviously she's good for business. You don't like her because she doesn't like your Lord and Savior, Donald Trump. So, you know, Favre is going to pop up to embarrass himself yet again. And it's just like, what Taylor Swift is the American dream writ large, like just works her off, makes a product that her consumers love, and now she likes football. It's so embarrassing to like, yes, you'd rather a cutaway to the defensive coordinator? Like, who cares? Like,
I get it though, but the devil's Damashek is because I remember the first time, and maybe I'm forgetting somebody, but the first time I remember like the ongoing cutaways were to Kurt Warner's wife when The Greatest Show on Turf was happening. And I remember there was a fair amount of noise about that. Like, we don't need to see her reaction to everything, except it humanizes guys. And that's what this century in pro football has been all about. Talk to people who are creators, like NFL films. The last century was all about making football more majestic in the slow-mos and the music and all of that. This century has been getting under the helmet, you know, the so-called get under the helmet and get to know these guys as individuals. And it has attached us in a way. I think it's, you know, almost all the way good. I think the extra, I don't know if Donald Trump, thing has some aspect of it. I do think of all the ones that you would ever complain about, you know, the cutaways to Chris Christie with Jerry Jones in the Cowboys box. People complained about those too. I remember that. But then when you see like the Eminem, like how do you complain only about Taylor Swift? So maybe you're right. Maybe it is about some political agenda.
I'm sure.
It's not gender based. It's not a gender based thing. Like, why would they? Why is it okay for Eminem? I mean, I do think people have always complained about it since they started doing that.
If it was Toby Keith, there's no way that Brett Favre would say, boo, stop cutting away to the singer, taking away from the game.
Well, here's the thing I would like to say to everybody who complains about Taylor Swift. You don't see Patrick Mahomes' brother ever. And I do continue to say that I think maybe part of her one stipulation she made is like, all right, I'll come to your games, Travis, but I don't want that guy anywhere around. Please, no luxury box for him. And he saw to it. And Patrick was like, oh, this is great. I don't have to play the bad guy. This is a perfect situation. I think that's something we can all celebrate.
Well, they hate Kelsey, too, because of the jabs. Get the jab, right?
They don't like him either. That's right. Well, that's because she's ruined him. She spoiled him. That has nothing to do with the fact that he's turned old. Okay, is that it for you, Hench?
Yeah.
Spaghetti.
Well, I'll just keep it in Arrowhead because that's for my bad goat because of the this. It also sounds like I'm a guy who's buttoned up and just like to have fun. That's not really the case here. But reading about how obviously we know it was the top five coldest game, I believe the fourth coldest game in NFL history. KC first responders had 70 calls to Arrowhead Stadium. Why? For frostbite and hypothermia because of people removing clothes or whatever. And the reason why, like, and it's funny, you get, talk about cutaways, you get the cutaway of a guy, shirtless, whatever. It's funny. But when you actually think about it, like step by step, the reason why they're getting my bad goat is like, number one, you're spending what? Like, $300-$500 on a ticket for a good seat at that game, plus your parking, $50, plus other groceries if you're tailgating yourself, let's just say $100. If not, you're buying stuff in the stadium, and then you're taking your clothes off, and then you get removed from the game via, you know, an EMT, and then all your friends are like, oh man, like, great game, we won the wild card, we're going on the divisional round, did you see it? Nope, I was in the hospital, and now I have permanent nerve damage in my in my body. So I lost a nipple
in the ambulance. It couldn't be saved.
The regular, you know, Joe Schmoes are getting priced out from just attending a football game, let alone a playoff game, especially in a city like this where they're constant to playoffs and the tickets are a hot item. And to like remove your clothing when it's like negative, what was it, like 20 something degrees, like 30 degrees is cold. I would not be outside shirtless in 30 degree weather, let alone in the negatives. And they did it for a gag. And now you have like medical bills on top of the stuff you paid for to the game. And it's like, you're hurting and you didn't even see your team win the game in person because you were too busy in an ambulance.
Spaghetti turned 30.
I know.
Look at him. Don't trust him anymore.
Look, the minute you see that, like, Patrick Mahomes' helmet piece rip off and fly off when he gets hit because that's how cold it was, and seeing people's beers and cans and the cans freeze and it starts to explode the can. Like, when alcohol is freezing, put on as many layers as you possibly can. Like, that's my my little tip for you there. So
Billy Crystal was on Letterman forever ago, 30 years or so ago. And I've told my boys this same story to remember, this is how you want to go through life. It's how I kind of approached my younger years. He's like, what were you like? Letterman asked Crystal. He said, you know, the guy at the big homecoming game who takes off all his clothes and runs naked out to midfield and waves a towel. And he's like, yeah. And he said, I'm the guy who told him to go do that. That's who you want to be. Don't be like, it'd be funny, Caden, is if you got super drunk and lost the shirt. Like, I'll do it. Don't be Caden. Be the guy telling him what a great idea it is for him to act like a Don't be the yourself. Don't be the clown. Tell the clown what a good bit is. That's Dave's advice. Parenting corner, right?
I've got hypothermia. It's 72 degrees here in my house, and I've got hypothermia from this master cleanse. I'm shaking.
You're cleansing unnecessarily. I'm getting the weekend wrong when I'm supposed to be traveling. Who are we to talk to anybody about how they should comport themselves? All right, I don't know, but go ahead, Spaghetti.
So for positive news, go our good goat. And this is an open invitation to Sacramento Kings head coach Mike Brown. You must be a fan of the -3 podcast. You can come on whenever you want because you're one of us. And I'll be honest, I've spent 0 minutes a day thinking about the Sacramento Kings, let alone their head coach Mike Brown, until I saw what he did to the referees. And everyone knows that if you think that we complain about the referees too much on this show, we're right. And now you're seeing actual head coaches, because a couple weeks ago the Toronto Raptors head coach did the same thing in the NBA, and now Mike Brown, after a no call, I believe it was towards De'Aaron Fox, and a couple inconsistent calls that were in the Bucks' favor, he flipped out, got ejected from the game in the fourth quarter, and showed up to his post-game press conference with a laptop, and he showed all the inconsistencies, and he said the stuff that we basically say is, number one, he's like, be consistent, and number two, communicate with your other referees on the court so that you could come to a majority conclusion here. And he pointed that out, and the maximum fine for coaches for criticizing referees is $25,000. He got double that because they said it was aggressive towards the one ref that he was singling out. So this official caused him to have what I believe is the largest fine in NBA history in terms of criticizing the referees. But Mike Brown, like, I'll clap kudos to you for bringing the referee and showing, like, frame by frame how they messed it up. And again, for those who are like, enough with the referee stuff, we're at the point where head coaches are doing this. Like, just think about it. The leagues at some point will have to start looking inward. I don't know when that will be, but Mike Brown, I mean, what a job by you. So easy.
The Raptors coach had a great meltdown too. It's like, this would be a good, you should put those behind a paywall, those rants and those TED talks about the officiating. And then you can pay the $50,000. No problem for everybody that pays a nickel to watch the explanation of how bad the officials are. I mean,
That's what we need. You're right, because I feel bad. They're spooked enough. Like, I don't want to. That's a heavy amount of money to have to throw out. We do need to have a GoFundMe for the coaches who take referees to task. I love it.
They're pretty well compensated. I'm not too worried about the occasional 50 grand.
Okay.
Right off. More Mike Brown. I'm with you, Spaghetti.
I love it. It really was great. Is that it from you, Spaghetti?
That's it. Shirtless men and Mike Brown.
And now a quick break.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Love it. Really good stuff from you. Hench, you want to throw out a best bet for the weekend? It can be about the NFL. Of course, the 15-minute show will be your guide. We are giving you winners. It's crazy. Hench, Spaghetti, Damashek, all completely even Steven, 18 weeks and the wild card round through Brady Lemieux, the aggregate of our picks, running away with things. But don't forget that fruit of the year is also included there. But if you want to give us a pick here, Hench, go ahead.
Well, just because I know we're on opposite sides of this, this is pretty exciting. It's the big game. Everyone acting like Patrick Mahomes won't know how to play on the road. He didn't have a very good year. The Chiefs didn't have a very good year, but they have that look of a team like the season has started now. I just thought they looked so dominant in all phases against the Dolphins. Like, that was a real kicking. It didn't look like they were playing in 27 below temperatures. And so I think in a mild upset, they go into Buffalo and win that game 23-21.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to fight you too hard, but the thing that did, because I said it for a week and I kind of talked myself into it, like it, that the Bills are all Josh Allen, but as a reminder, that pass rush is real nasty, and I am worried about the way that Chiefs O-line has looked there. They got a walkover because the Dolphins are so decimated on defense, but I think that Bills pass rush, if it looks like it did against the Steelers, I think the Mahomes is going to be running a lot, as much as Josh Allen does every week. So, all right, we'll check out there. And as a reminder, go to YouTube, the Extra Points page, subscribe there, look for the 15-minute pregame show. That'll be there around midnight, Thursday night, Friday morning-ish, also streaming on Twitter all the way up through the games. Make sure you're listening to The Waivered Wire with Spaghetti and Jen Piacenti. Extra Points, me and Sarah Tiana had Jenny Johnson on, a really fun episode with a Houston Texans fan. She's a very funny person, is Jenny. Toby Mergler has Brad Evans on Trendy this week. Lemon Pepper Parlay, you know, that's the home for all KC Chiefs talk. Check it out. Martin Weiss still basking in the glow of Michigan. Maybe he's picked up the lines a little bit too. Check out all the great content here on the Extra Points Network. We'll talk to you after the divisional round to get you right for what's going down in sports. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.